Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. I think that it's misleading that they call a mystery a puzzle. A mystery is solved at the end, when all the clues suddenly make sense. If I have a puzzle, I know what the puzzle is going to be before I begin putting it together, and even if I don't, when I place the last small little piece of the Mona Lisa, I don't suddenly exclaim, oh, it's not what I expected at all. Our campaign is Horror on the Orient Express, and this is episode 53. I'm your game master, and Jeff Wilkins will be giving the recap. We are back on the train traveling to Belgrade in Serbia. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Jeff.
Thanks, Tom. Last episode, it's about 3 a.m. Thursday morning. Our group is standing around a creature that we had just shot and killed after it tried to break into our room. Just then, the police showed up and asked what's going on. Rupert steps up and explains the situation to the police. He also takes the possible heat from the police by claiming that he was the only one that opened fire on the creature. The police were satisfied with Rupert's explanation, and we head back to the hotel. Once breakfast time arrives, we find that most of the people from the hotel stayed up and ate most of the food, so we're forced to head into town to find a cafe. On the way, Frank sees a distinctive car drive by where he thinks he sees Miss Vanessa Femmick sitting in the back seat. Vanessa was the one who we found wrapped in a carpet in the alleyway, so surely this is some work of the skinless cult. Rather upsetting. We head first to the cement factory, and next plan on going to visit Dr. Bellinzara. We arrive at the factory. It's up and running already. At first, we get yelled at for being in some place we're not meant to be, but then once we're honest and upfront and saying we've never been to a cement factory before, the foreman's attitude changes and he's eager to show us around. When we get to the large rock crusher, Frank notices what looks to be blood splatters on the floor and wall. It's fairly obvious that this is where Dragomir was murdered. We leave as soon as we can as we're getting more and more paranoid about getting caught. Next, we pay a visit to Dr. Bellinzara. We learn that he's not at home, nor at the hospital, but is at the research facility. We grab a taxi and head there. We get there and Rupert comes up with a great idea on how to get us into the facility. He limps up to the man at the front gate and poses as a potential patient of the doctor. As Rupert's talking to the man, Frank sees some unsettling things. The man has one arm that is large, black, and hairy. Just then, a dog comes around the corner of the building and it has the head of a gorilla on it. We are in a lot of danger. We make a small attempt to turn around and leave, but it's too late. The guard is ushering us in. A few more guards come at us now, as well as another one of those animal hybrid creatures. Weapons are drawn and a fight ensues. We're struggling to hold our own when thankfully the police arrived and rushed through the gates as well. They disturb the fight and it gives us a chance to escape. But when Rupert and Dr. Dawkins see this as a perfect chance to go further into the research facility to find the lab. We find Dr. Bellinzara in the middle of an operation or experiment. The doctor yells at us to leave, and that's when we see he's holding the cursed knife, or the Mim Sahim. He's been using this knife as a medical instrument to make these creatures. There's a tense standoff where we try to order him to drop the knife. He refuses and explains his reasoning, but after saying the words out loud, it's as if he hears himself speaking. It's as if his mind has found logic again, and he realizes what he's been doing wrong. He summons three more creatures to our surprise. He shoots all three. Then he turns the pistol on himself, pulls the trigger, blowing his brains out. Seeing our moment of escape, we grab the knife, manage to escape over the fence in the back. Ultimately, we convince the police chief that we are in fact victims, but that he wants us on the next train out of Vinkovici. We don't stick around to argue. We grab all our items, we get on board the Orient Express, and leave town. And that brings us up to date.
Perfect. So you are on your way to Belgrade. What do you guys do?
Tom, can I ask, would we be on the train still on Thursday? Because all of that happened on Thursday in one day. Is there any days in between that?
Probably, let's give it a day because you probably were not, you couldn't just leave. You were seen at the lab. You were questioned by the police, and then you were released because I think the guy believed. I mean, he believed what you were saying. There was never any question about the knife because nobody really knew about it except you.
Yeah.
So was it about the knife or maybe the 10th?
Friday would be the 9th, yeah.
The 9th.
And I believe
this tourist guy that the place we're going to is the most frequently destroyed city in Europe.
Huh.
Belgrade. Quite apt we're hitting it.
Well, perhaps to take our mind off of everything, we should just sit down and relax as I sit down in the cabin.
I think we deserve an extra large brandy from my personal cognac collection. I'll get some of that and make sure everyone has a generous glass.
Yeah, that last day was rather traumatic for me.
I didn't think we were going to get out of that one alive, but we didn't think we were going to get out alive. Dog with a head of an ape.
Man with all these different aspects of him, not to mention.
That's a powerful knife we have hold of there. Someone is so keen to try and get hold of it.
You will be arriving in Belgrade at 12:53 p.m. That's almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's nasty time.
So you've got quite a bit of. You've actually got.
A few hours ahead of us.
You've got 11 hours. So.
11 hours. My goodness.
One of those books we got, we start poking our noses into one of them.
Well, given that we've now got the knife, I wondered if it might be a good idea to read the book that, I mean, it would seem that the, what's it called, this book we've got, let me have a look, it's called the Narratio de Tullius Corvus, the account of Tullius Corvus.
That
seems to be, in many ways, I suppose, a sort of a prequel to the document we read before, the other load.
The Crusade one.
Yes. Although this one, I would.
It's Latin as well.
Late
Roman. I must admit, I'm dying to get stuck in.
Well, shall we? Or a few brandies, we should perhaps have a look at this then.
Definitely. Take turns in reading it. I'll go first, and if you want.
Well, I'm quite happy to read. I rather enjoy this sort of thing.
Let us know when your eyes start getting tired and hand it over.
Very well. Shall I? Are you sitting comfortably?
I've got the brandy, and everyone's got their glasses. I've lit my cigar.
Well, before we even start, I'll hold my glass up and I'll toast to our success.
To our success.
Yes. To good friends. And I'll toss it down. And then I'll have you pour me another. And I'll say, hey, by all means, Dr. Keith.
It's literally where you fill before you empty it almost. You just hand it out and it's right there. I've been trained for years in this.
Thank you.
Refill glass 95%.
If you're sitting comfortably, then I'll begin. Oh. Narratio de Tullius Corvus. The account of Tullius Corvus. Poets say that peace is a prison to a true fighting man, and old soldiers are filled with regret. They say dying on the battlefield is how such men should meet their end. But the old soldiers of the Fortius Falcones know better. The screams and blood, the mud and hunger, the exhaustion, horror and loss, these are not glorious things. No man loves peace more than a soldier, because no other men truly understand war. Poets are idiots. Peace is wonderful, and the soldiers are enjoying every day of it. Pity changes daily, gaining new buildings, wider streets, and stronger defenses. Monuments gathered from across the empire are erected. The ringing of 1,000 hammers fills the air as Constantine's new capital races towards completion. 6 years the soldiers have been stationed here, the longest they have ever been posted in one place for the 15-odd years served under Constantine's banner. Soldiering is a young man's game, and youth is far behind them. Once the construction is done and Nova Roma is officially opened, they will be honorably discharged from the Fortis Falconis. This highly decorated elite auxiliary unit of advanced scouts has been their home and family for many years. As young men, they invaded Italy to fight Maximus and spent their prime years fighting Licinius. Now, in the twilight of their military career, they keep the peace between construction crews in what is to become the new capital of the Roman Empire. This is the account of the events surrounding those most noble and brave of Constantine's soldier scouts, Fortis Falconis, the mighty falcons, and how they did attempt to keep back the darkness from the land. In the year 1082, Ab Urbe Condita, that means the founding of Rome, so that would be 330 AD, on the 12th of March, less than a month before the grand commencement of the new Rome, Constantine City, an order was delivered to Tribune Comitius Tilius Corvus, a many times decorated veteran of numerous campaigns, much admired and respected commander of the Fortis Falconis, to gather an elite group of his finest soldiers and report to the Curia. Tilius Corvus was loved by his men. He fought beside them and faced death together with them dozens of times. He always looked out for them and loved them in return. He had, on a few occasions, disobeyed orders when the situation meant certain death for his men, refusing to sacrifice them. And yet, somehow, he always managed to get away with it. Corvus had many times led them to victory when they should have known only defeat. He rose through the ranks in blood, mud, and dust, besides those men serving with him. His title, Comites, which means Order of the Companions, was granted to him by the Emperor Constantine himself, and marks him as a senior regimental commander. Tilius Corvus is a natural-born Roman citizen, tracing his family roots back to the province of Gaul. In appearance, he is a tall, broad-shouldered man, clean-shaven, with light brown hair. He has only recently begun to wear his hair long as his discharge date grows near. Corvus is a strikingly handsome man with sharp grey eyes, skin tanned by countless hours spent under the sun. While he is very fit and dangerous in a fight, he is approaching his 40th birthday. He is unmarried and without children, as a life devoted to military service has left little time for family. But, with his retirement approaching, he has begun to spend time with the Lady Eudocia, a wealthy widow with two sons. He plans to marry her after retiring from the military. And so, Tilius Corvus went out into Rome's new capital to find his chosen men.
And so what Tilius did first was he went to find his second in command, who was at the Hippodrome working. So the sun beat down on the magnificent structure that was being built for the horse races, an 80,000 seat chariot racing stadium, he walked quietly up behind Galerius Evodius, who was 48 years old. "What have they got you doing out here, old man?"
"Hail, Galerius. It's actually not too bad. I'm just in charge of a bunch of construction guys here. We're just trying to build things and keep everything on time."
Your skills are much better utilized on interrogating our enemies.
You could be right there.
Stuff.
But well, I hope that's behind me at this point.
Well, as it turns out, we've been summoned by Gamelius, the Magister Militis. We need to get a few of our finest to join us before our appointment. You think you can keep up?
Yeah, sure, I'll give it a shot.
All right. And with that, the two men left, and they went to find Belisir, who was working at the Forum Tauri. It's an open square surrounded by public baths, churches, and civic buildings, decorated with porticos and housing a triumphal column in its center. It was also used for public executions. So how goes the construction, Belisir?
Oh, I turn around and I say everything seems to be in order here. And I'm kind of, as my mind is kind of preoccupied. I'm trying to, like, tonight is the night where I'm going to try to propose. and so my mind is...
You know, quite honestly, Belisir, you have served with us for over 20 years, and there is no one better with a crossbow than you. You are a brave man, but you have not yet gotten up the courage to ask for Nona's hand from her father. That just amazes me that you...
you know the saying, once married, your life ends, or something to that sort.
Well, with your retirement coming up, you're good to go. At the moment, however, find somebody really quick to take over your position. Grab your kit and follow me. We got work to do.
All right. I straighten up and sort of snap to attention, and I'll motion for somebody to come over and take my place and grab my kit.
So with that, the three men now head over to the palace gardens. Spearman Damanius.
Don't put it there. Read the fucking plans, you bloody idiot. How many times have I got to remind you? It doesn't go there. The plans. Add all you ugly bastards together. And...
Legionnaire. How's your garden growing?
It's not growing at all. Well, when I was asked for a non-combat position, I didn't exactly have this pictured, but it's still better than combat.
Well,
see you anyway, sir. What brings you out in the sun sober?
Well, you're a very dedicated soldier. You are always the first
trained
one
by you, sir.
You're the first one to volunteer for anything, and you are the last one to retreat. But I'm afraid we've got one. I'm afraid we've got one more thing to do before we retire. Grab your kit. It's possible that whatever this is, and I don't know all the details yet, that it might lead to that approval for your logistics position that you're looking for.
Hopefully, sir. Hopefully. It won't take me a second to get my kit together. You take over.
Oh, and he looks over and he sees a couple of other men that he's been looking for. They are Lorenz, a German legionary who is very good with a spear, and Nabadius, a big Greek guy. He's well known for being unbeatable in hand-to-hand combat. So he gathers them together as well. And he says, and now we're off to the wall, the big one outside, the Constantine's wall. We have to gather up our swordsmen.
So, I'll be serious with Rich Belisar off his girlfriend.
Well, you do what you got to do. When you're summoned, you're summoned. So anyways, the men now head out towards the outer wall, which is being built, the construction of which won't be finished in Constantine's lifetime. But it is an outer fortified wall topped with regular towers. It is west of the inner wall. This will give the city a pair of defensive walls with a killing ground in between them. It is currently under construction. And so I walk up to Emmerich. Emmerich, how are you today?
as I'm lifting up a huge stone slab up the wall, and you can just see it's just me who's hoisting this huge, you know, probably half a ton stone, and sweating, shirt off, I turn big, ugly, bearded face, and I say, "Tilius, and the rest of you," as I'm pulling this thing up, and I say, "How are you all doing?"
We're doing fine. It's a hot day. You know, I have to wonder something, though. How are you ever going to gain followers for your Christian faith with a face like that?
I then kind of like bust up laughing, and you can see the rope kind of like falter, and everyone on top's like, no. And then I hoist it up. I let go of the rope. They've taken it. I turn, and I wipe the sweat off my brow, and I said, "They're still letting old geezers like you be in charge of people like us," and I point to old man.
Away at Selway to you, sir.
And I chuckle, and I immediately give everyone a jolly handshake. And I say, "Why are you all the way out here?"
Well, I've come to sort of collect you. I got to admit, you know, if you can't collect your Christian, if you can't get them to follow you, you can push them along. You're pretty damn strong. We've been summoned to the newly constructed and occupied civic building, the Curia, by the Magister Militium. Grab your kit. Let's go.
Yes, sir. And I immediately rush over and grab everything. And
one last person to get. We need to head over to the baths of Zuzippus and collect our friend Malonius. So let's describe that for us. The baths of Zuzippus, popular public baths decorated with over 80 statues of various historic figures, gods, and mythological heroes. Archer, Malonius.
I think these sardines are on the turn. Oh, hello. Yeah, Harvey.
Have you found your target today?
Oh, I'm always dead on center. You know me.
You know, we've hunted together off and on for the last 20 years. You're always the first to find a deer and the first to find a boar. So why are you having so much trouble finding a bride?
Well, it's a technical thing.
Belisir is thinking about asking Nona, and I've gone so far as to ask Evdocia.
I'm just concentrating on other things. I mean, if I'm going to be a husband, I want to provide for my wife. If I want to provide, then I need, I need to get myself a boat.
Well, Emmerich is
the sea and earn a living, make a life for myself before I can ask a woman to marry me. But I have
Emmerich's got us all beat. He's marrying God.
I chuckle, and I say, but when I retire, I'll be heading back to Germania, where the food is fine and the women are finer. That's what God's provided for me. And I laugh.
Yes, I think you're going to end up in one of those monastery things. in any case, we need to go back to the Curia. We have an appointment. I just checked my watch. Wonderful.
Is that some sort of miniature sundial that you've got strapped to your wrist? That's extraordinary.
It's like just knots on my wrist, I guess. Anyways, let's go. We do have a meeting. So, the group of you all head towards the Curia, which is the new Senate building. It's housed in a basilica on the east side of the Augustaeum. So we arrive at the Curia. And we go inside. There is an aide who comes up to us, and he asks for me first. the magister wants to see me first. So I say, you guys wait out here. I'll be back. And Tullius Corvus steps into the office, and you guys are out there with the aide.
You ugly bastards.
All right.
It's no good when you have to stand outside the magistrate's office. Is it?
I lean up against a wall and I say, why do you think he's collected all of us?
It's not because of our good looks and charm, is it?
Speak for yourself, and I, you know, caress my beard.
Maybe we're getting out early.
Yeah.
That'd be something. That could be something.
That would be nice.
I'm still thinking about going in with the old man with his bar idea.
Absolutely.
That sounds quite appealing.
Do you enjoy the horses? Horse racing. It's a big thing.
Get some stuff. Oh, that's fun. I put a few denarii on chariots occasionally and stuff. Yeah, I don't spend on whores.
I'm enjoying working in the baths. We accidentally fall in 2 or 3 times a day. we're possibly the cleanest workers in the city.
After a few minutes...
I'm looking forward to retirement. To kill him.
After a few minutes, the door opens... And Corvus sticks his head out, and he says, you guys can come in. And he gives you a look like, shit.
Attention.
So.
Marching at attention.
Yeah, when you guys step inside, Magister Militum Alexis Gamalis is in charge of the entire military. He's the top military guy. You know that when he was younger, you know, he knows what the business end of a spear is, but he's probably spilled more ink than blood over the last years. And although he may have once been in pretty good shape, he's kind of pudgy and fat at this point. So he's like, come in, please sit down, have some wine. And Corvus looks over at you like, oh, shit. You know, that's not a good sign.
I look uncomfortable when he says sit down. It's sort of, what? Look right to see who he's talking to.
So he says, gentlemen. He says, I have a mission for you. It is a mission that you need to keep in the utmost secrecy. In fact, that doesn't just apply now, but forever. You will not speak to anyone outside your group of what this entails. Yesterday, a courier arrived from the Gilean outpost a few leagues west of Sardis in the nearby province of Lydia. The man reported that a mysterious plague has broken out in the villages in that area. The sickness is blamed on a satanic cult. The cult must be put down. Whether it is actually spreading the plague or not. The unknown illness causes weakness, fever, muscle pain, and a strange line of sores running along the spine. Many of those who contract the disease die. Centenarius Longinus is the commander in charge of Gilean. He's having difficulties keeping the villagers from fleeing the area, and several of his men have also contracted the illness. What I need you to do is get me an accurate report of what's actually going on there in the Gilean outpost. If there is a plague, it must be contained. I have at my disposal several thousand men who can I can march into Lydia if it's necessary. No one infected is to be allowed to reach the Lydian capital, the capital of Sardis. Okay. Tribuni Comitis Corvis has total authority in this matter. He may he may take command of the Gilean outpost and utilize their garrison of 100 men as he sees fit. There is a ship waiting to take you across the straits to Cyzicus in Mysia, where you can pick up horses and any further supplies that you need. I'm providing you with papers so that any officials will not question anything that you do. However, there's nothing in these papers that indicates what's really going on. And we want to keep that a secret. The new capital is coming along nicely, but the idea of plague breaking out in Constantinople at this time would be, quite frankly, disastrous, especially for Constantine, who is trying very hard to attract people to come live here. You understand? Do you have any questions?
You said Satanists, and I make an X with my fingers.
That is what has been reported.
And I immediately kind of shut the fuck up, but my face has gone from, you know, I'm ready for a fight to, oh shit, we're going to get into some stuff.
Put civilians that have been affected to the sword. Stop them getting anywhere in the capital.
I imagine that's true. I don't know of any reports directly. That's one of the reasons why I'm sending you there. But that is certainly an acceptable loss. Plague. One can't even calculate how many people would die of the plague if it gets out. Whatever this plague may be. I want you to understand that this is obviously an extremely dangerous mission. I am sending you because you are the best of the best. And also, I want you to understand that when you return, you will be adequately compensated. We have at our disposal land grants, building grants. We can provide you with anything that you would like as a reward, as long as it's reasonable.
Sounds like a good deal.
Well, if you don't have any questions, please step outside, Corvus. Please stay for a moment.
Bye-bye.
Go ahead.
Did Dominius say this, and I just kind of missed it, were you suggesting that if we find someone who has already been infected, are we instructed to end them?
Contain them. If there is medical treatment being given to them, you know, that's fine, but don't allow, there are people who are trying to escape from the region, and I can understand their fear of contracting the disease, but we can't take the chance that they will spread the disease, understand?
So even if they are deemed healthy at the moment, if they're trying to escape, we need to prevent them from doing that.
Correct.
Is there anyone who will be able to assist us as far as having a medical background?
I'm sure they have medical personnel there. It's an outpost. You can speak to Centenarius Longinus about that. And he has 100 soldiers, so I'm sure that there is some medical personnel there.
Okay, great.
And so, please wait outside. And I wish to speak to Corvus for a few moments more. And with that, he dismisses you.
This is not what I was hoping to get into.
Not really, but there again, the promises of the reward bargain that we're probably going to get if we just retire. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the tempting.
My thoughts.
Well, and any chance to do God's work, killing this Satan's disease, this plague, that could mean not just material wealth, but also wealth in the afterlife.
That's if we don't catch this disease. We don't know it's being spread.
Well, you know, a little boat, a handful of gold, and I'll take my chances. Anyway, God loves fishing.
So after a few more minutes, the door opens, and Corvus steps outside. He slips. He sort of slips outside as he's coming out. And as he turns and looks at you, he's got a concerned look on his face. And he says to you, he says, not a word until we're outside. Okay. So you guys leave. You guys go outside. Corvus immediately heads towards a local tavern that you were all very familiar with. But before he goes inside, he stops you and takes you over to the side. He says, look, we are ordered at the moment to go directly to the docks and set out at once. But I know for a fact from the details that the ship isn't actually leaving until this evening. So if any of you have a need to go say goodbye to somebody or spend some time with somebody that you love, you're certainly welcome to do that. I'm also, I have to apologize to you all. My orders were to bring not just my best men, but those who are nearing retirement. I apologize for getting you into this. If any of you don't want to go, I suggest that you flee the city and go find a place somewhere on the outskirts of the Empire. Make a life for yourself.
I, for one, sir, would like to be the first one to volunteer myself for the mission.
You always say that. Don't interrupt me. And he says, please, you know, seriously, if you guys don't want to go, I won't say anything. But I've already said my goodbyes to my beloved Eleusia, and she has promised that she's going to marry me when I come back, and we'll have a life together. So I'm heading for the tavern if you guys want to join me for a drink.
I'm not going to miss you going around, sir. I'm not going to miss that at all.
Sir, are they asking for people near retirement because we're disposable? And I'm kind of like...
I'm afraid that's the way that it sounds. I think that it's really ill treatment, but what can I do about it? This young magister doesn't look like he's fought a day in his freaking life.
An elite unit, and elite units are expected to do things normal units can't do.
It's true.
We've earned our reputation. We're good soldiers. If anyone could do it, it's us. I like the idea of maybe killing civilians, but duty's duty.
I really actually feel like I've fucked you all now. So I tell you what, let's go to the tavern. I'll pay for everything. We can celebrate my ineptitude. So you all head into the tavern. Well, unless somebody's going to go visit somebody.
Well, yeah, you got to explain that one, Melissa.
Since this might be the last time I see her, I'll try my proposal.
All right. The other two soldiers that were with you as well, they go off to do whatever they're going to do too. So it's really, except for, I guess, Belisir going off to see Nona, we all sit and have drinks and we eat and we make merry. And I tell Belisir, though, before he goes, that we need to be at the docks by sundown. We still have a few hours.
Understood.
The ship is the Andromeda. All right.
Has Belsir left yet, right?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm going to be looking out for him. His potential with us starting a new life with his woman and possible family. I don't want anything to happen to him, so.
It's going to happen to any of us, old man. We'll be okay as long as we've got you above us.
Exactly, and I pat you with a big, burly hand on the back. We'll be fine. I mean, we've got one. We're going up against Satanists, and we've got God on our side, so.
I feel sorry for them, personally. For him.
Exactly.
Fighting man is not something I'm afraid of. Fighting darker forces and plagues, it's a whole other ballgame.
Like I said, we've got God on our side.
It's going to be normal. Routine police work we've done 100 times. Containing the area. I guess the idea to try and escape. We go back and collect our rewards, which make our retirement actually decent. Rather than the futile retirement we were going to get. We can open that bar near the chariot racing.
All right. So when sunset comes, you all head over to the Andromeda, which is docked on the at the dock. Lorenz and Nabadius, the other two soldiers, don't show up. And Corvus is like, well, can't really blame them. In any case, you get on the Andromeda. And
we didn't need them.
Brawler's there's not much use taking on plague victims, is he? I mean, as soon as he punches one of them, he's got the plague. Don't blame him, really.
So anyways, the Andromeda slips quietly out of the harbor at midnight and sets sail south across the Sea of Marmara. It takes 3 days for it to reach Cyzicus. And this is like in Western Turkey is what where we would think of it as today. So you arrive, and the day that you arrive, Corvus marks as the 15th of March in his mission log, and he notes, I don't know if that's a bad sign or a good sign, but today is the Ides of March that we have arrived. Cyzicus is an ancient Hellenic city. It is a large center of commerce. I would like to leave rather quickly to get to the Gilean outpost. We've got a requisition list of equipment and provisions. Let's see if we can get that. And if there's anything else that you would like to need, like to bring along, short of like catapults and Greek fire, I think that sounds perfectly reasonable.
Well, I've got two dozen arrows. I've got 2 dozen arrows with me, but I could do with a bundle of a few dozen more, just to be on the safe side. I mean, okay. If we're going to have to put down.
And you guys have enough time that if you want a hot bath or you want, yeah.
That'd be nice to go to the bath.
I'd like a bath. I've got quite into bathing recently. Picked up rather a taste for it.
I
literally, actually, I can still taste the soap.
Yeah, so there'll be some advantage to being around.
Stock up on bolts and things like that.
So as you guys are sort of wandering around the town, there are a number of fellow soldiers who come up and they're like, oh, so what are you doing here? I guess they're talking to, let's say they're talking to, I still got to get all your names. Galeris. So what are you guys all up to?
This is on the boat or this is still in the town?
This is just after you've gotten into the town. You look like tourists. Well, I didn't say tourists. You look like soldiers who are on a mission. And these are just fellow soldiers who are just kind of curious. What you up to? Where are you going? Where have you been posted?
We're here just to inspect the troops. We want to make sure that everything is on the up and up. Everybody is doing what they're supposed to be doing. So look smart.
Yes, sir.
Maggot.
What's that?
Maggot. Look smart, maggot.
So similar things happen to all of you. So what are you guys in town for? The bartender says.
Fucked if I know. Army says go here, we go here. Army says go there, we go there. I'm too near to retirement to put up a fight. I tell you, I go where I'm sent, I do what I'm told, and I'm looking forward to just...
He does.
Sitting in the sunshine for a bit, not having to fight.
That's right. All. Nothing
bad. I'm hoping this will be a peaceful posting, you know. Get any trouble around here, dude?
We'll be when we get back, if they've got any sense.
Do we have any sort of a time frame? Like, are we supposed to get this done by within a week, or just that'll unfold?
I think trying to time things out back in that day and age was probably pretty tricky.
Okay.
So... You know, cause it's gonna take so long.
When the job is done, I mean, once the job is done, then we can go back.
Yeah.
When we're summoned, usually the military way, isn't it? Once we get other orders doing something else.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see what you guys can do. So after you guys have horses. You guys have your packs, your kits, everything that you need. And by now there is like a steady light rain that's falling. It is March, it can still be cold at night.
Tom, can I make an attempt to also get some sort of disinfectant, like vinegar maybe, or vinegar cures everything, right?
I'm not sure that they knew what a disinfectant was, did they? I mean, they knew what medicine was, but they didn't really understand there were germs.
That's what I guess that's what I mean. Like, I would try to find a local doctor and say, we're going to be out traveling. What can we bring? And I'm pretty sure I remember that like vinegar is used in bathhouses to like,
yeah. And maybe alcohol, too.
Vinegar is definitely used for treating wounds, isn't it? A soldier would know that.
Yeah, and I think it'd be in the military we might know that, right?
Okay. All right. We'll say that you put yourself together almost like a little medical kit.
Yeah, even if it's just for my own, you know, it makes me feel safer.
Right. All right. So now you guys have what you need. You are heading out on the road to... Gellion, the Gellion outpost. You're heading southeast into central Lydia. You travel for 3 days. You pass through mountains and valleys. You at some point you probably run out of rations and you hunt food, which is fine. You guys are used to making it on your own. But as you go along, I mean, the first day or two is fairly pleasant. By the third day, it's actually starting to rain quite a bit. And it's not such a pleasant trip. So now you've reached March 18th. You start as you're heading towards this more occupied area. You start to encounter villagers along the way. There's a villager on the edge of probably his farm. Doing some work off mending a fence, but he looks at you nervously in a strange sort of way. Like he doesn't want to come up and talk to you, but he really wants to know who you are and why you're there. Because out of respect, he doesn't really say anything to you, but you are free to go up and talk to him.
How's everyone dressed? Are we in full like military gear?
You're in whatever we would call military traveling gear, yeah. Which is still somewhat armored. You've probably got capes.
So I guess like what I'm asking is like he tasked us to be a secret mission. So are we trying to hide the fact that we are like elite soldiers, or are we a general farmer just look at us and know that these guys mean business?
They would know that you're soldiers, mainly because you've got horses. What the secret is what's going on. That you don't want anybody to know about.
Okay. Yep.
But until you actually get there, of course, Longinus knows. He's the one who's asked that you come and help. All right. So we were talking about a stranger on the side of the road. Does anybody want to talk to him or go up to him or anything like that?
Sure. I ride over to him and I say, "Peace be with you, friend."
Okay. As soon as you ride towards him, he looks suddenly panicked and sort of backs away and makes an attempt to just go back to the farm.
Okay, well, I'm going to still ride alongside of him, and I will say, like I said, peace be with you, friend.
He's like, "Go away. There is sickness in the east."
Can you elaborate? And I suppose I dismount. I want to be eye level with him.
He's like, "You need to go back. It's not safe here for you."
Why not?
He says, "The Valerian plague is beginning to ravage the land in the east."
What can you tell me about this plague? That's actually, we're heading through that area and it'd be best to know what we're going up against.
Go ahead and do a persuade roll.
Well, that's perfect because I have a really good persuade. Let's see, what is my persuade? I want to say I have a good persuade. I wrote it down. Yep, 40, and I got a 33, okay. Perfect. So I passed. All right. Not a hard, but it's a normal pass.
So he's like, "Listen, friend," he says, "you don't want to be here. There's a horrible plague that's I've heard rumors of, that supposedly is getting much worse. Not only that, but I've heard rumors that there are strange people, some sort of a religious cult that is unspeakable, horrible. They're doing what? I hear all sorts of rumors. I don't know if they're true or not, but there's something horrible."
Well,
you can tell that he really doesn't know much more than that.
Okay. Well, I take his claims very seriously, and I nod and I say, "Well, keep to your farm then until the plague passes. Until then, I reach into my satchel, and because I know they have them, I pull out a pamphlet, and I try and tell him about Christ." And I say that, and I say,
dude, they don't have printing yet.
It's handwritten. They have handwritten.
Wooden block.
No, they had handwritten pamphlets that talked about Christ. Yeah, it wasn't all oral.
If you say so.
He's making it up.
And that is not made up, sir. But I try telling you about Christ. Saying that like Christ is
holy. Again.
He looks at you quite confused and just is like, no, please just turn back, friend. There's I nothing over to the group. But danger.
I write back to the group and I say, every time I knock on someone's door, they tell me to go away and I don't understand why.
They're scared of the uniform.
That's probably it. Maybe if we wore ties with just plain white button up shirts, I think that would be better door to door. All right, let's keep going.
I have a question. What's a tie?
And I ride off into the sunset because it's a Germanic thing.
What's a shirt? What's a button?
You know what shirts are? Do we know what buttons are? I think we know what buttons are.
I think he's from one of the German tribes.
We need to ultimately consult Oscar Rios on whether buttons.
Yeah, email Oscar and say, because I know about Christian stuff back then, but I don't know about buttons. So if you can ask about the button thing.
All right. So anyway,
Cinderella.
All right. So you move on, and you're heading. You're getting closer now to the Gillian outpost. You can see the Gillian outpost off across the valley, which is where you're heading. But before you get there, you can see that there are dozens of large tents that have been set up outside the fort, which makes the outpost look much larger than it really is as you get closer. The tents are all about 50 yards or so from the gate, from the fort itself. And you can see a few men coming and going from the tents, and they are dressed like medical people. As you get closer, you see the gates of the fort open, and a soldier on a horse comes riding rather swiftly towards the group of you. And he immediately, his first reaction is, no, go back. You don't want to be here. But then he realizes that
you heard the man, let's go.
he realizes that you're soldiers, and he's like, are you sent from Gamalias in Constantinople?
Yes, sir. Yes, we are.
He says, come with me, I'll take you to our commander. And he rides you back through the gate, and you can see as you're passing that the sick are in the tents, and anybody who's sick gets put in the tents. There are also soldiers in the tents that are sick. So you come into the outpost, and it's a small military fort. It's got 10-foot tall stone walls topped with ramparts. Each corner of the outpost is guarded by a tower and a gatehouse. A gatehouse reinforces the fort. There's only one entrance. Within the walls, There are a handful of buildings. There's a few barracks, offices, workshops, and storehouses. The fort is large enough to house 150 soldiers. They're not all there. They've only got about 100 men at the moment because the others are sick.
Do we know, roughly speaking, how many tents are out there? Like, just trying to get a sense of talking thousands or 50 or 100?
We're talking a couple of dozen.
Okay.
Very large tents. The garrison itself is a very is a strong structure. You can see that it's in good repair. These soldiers have kept it. It's a good fortified structure. There's plenty of food. It's fully stocked. However, the soldiers are not in good shape. They look like soldiers who have been beaten down in battle. They know there's plague. They're terrified. They're stuck inside this, basically a giant box, the fort, and they're tired. They're frightened, and the morale is extremely low. When they see you, they brighten up immediately because they think you are the first part of a whole bunch of soldiers coming to save them all and to free them from their confine. So soldiers come up to you and they go, "Oh, you're here. You're finally here. We're so happy you're here. When are we going to be relieved?"
I don't know. We weren't told. We were just told to come here.
You know they don't give grunts any information.
Yeah, they don't tell us nothing, mate.
Nothing. They don't tell us. Nothing. Bugger all. Go in, they say. Go there, they say. But they never tell us why.
Lift that bale. Tote that. Bale. I might have got that the wrong way round. I don't even know that.
You can carry more bucket.
Well, Corvus dismounts, and he's like, "Listen," he says, "we are part of an advanced guard. Your relief is on its way. They're still a few days out, but when they get here, you will all be relieved." And he looks over at you guys and winks his eye.
"You heard the man.
So I need you to man the battlements and do your jobs, and that's the best thing that you could possibly do at this point. Just continue to do your jobs, and relief is right around the corner." So now you go in and you're told Centenarius Longinus will now speak with you. So you're going into the office. Centenarius, as you come in, he's very grateful that you're here. "Thank God you're here. Thank God. Please come inside. We need to have a private meeting. Have a seat, have some wine." And Corvus looks at you like, "Oh shit." Seems familiar. All right. Once you guys are inside, he begins to debrief you about what's been going on. Corvus explains, "You know, we need a report. We're going to make a report to Gamalius. Tell us what you know." So he explains that for months he has received reports of a satanic cult of robed zealots calling themselves the Flayed, who threaten the local villagers and extort supplies. The villagers don't want to talk about it because they're terrified of these cultists who come in the night. My men have found no sign of the cultists, but recently there have been reprisals against the villagers who asked for our help. So we suspect that the cult actually might exist. About a few months ago, one of the villagers came to us, and he claimed that his wife had been bitten by some sort of blood-sucking bat thing while she slept. She died soon after of a new and terrible illness, which we are now calling the Valerian Plague. We've seen other cases of it. The Valerian Plague causes high fever and death. The villagers in the town of Sirens and Alcati are completely depopulated of people. My scouts report finding blood and corpses everywhere. Some of the dead were plague victims, while others were flayed alive. And about the same time that this all happened, dozens of refugees, many of them sick, started arriving at the outpost seeking protection. The refugees from the village of Kelkoi told wild stories of attacks by Satan worshippers and blood-sucking demons. I don't believe any of them are true. I think that they're exaggerated. These are plebes. They tend to exaggerate. I think it's all probably due to the disease, because the disease also causes hallucinations. However, I did send a reinforced detachment to Kalkoi, and they were ambushed. Many of my men were injured or killed, and some contracted the Valerian Plague. They're out in the tents. A four-man patrol went missing yesterday, and since then, I've kept everyone within sight of the outpost. Any suggestions as to what we can do?
I have a question.
Yes.
Did you notice if this plague spreads among people, between people? Does it spread that way, or is it just still a mystery?
Nobody wants to come into contact with the victims.
But I mean, have you seen one of the victims spread it to another victim? That's what I mean.
Have I seen it spread? I'm not going to go anywhere near the plague tent.
Well, not you personally, but I mean, have you gotten any reports? That's what I mean.
Well, aside from the bite, reported by the man in the beginning, I haven't heard anything more about that. I think it probably spreads like any other disease by one person touching another person or coming into contact with bodily fluids. The disease is rather gruesome. You should probably at least get a look at it when you get the chance.
Have the soothsayers done an augury reading?
We don't have any soothsayers here, so. We don't have any soothsayers.
Hmm.
We're a military outpost.
If only I had my bag of bones with me.
I mean, there's things that an augury could be very important at the moment.
Well, I do have rooms set up for you. You guys are going to all be in the same barrack. So you'll all have contact with you. We have facilities set up for you if you need to do any documentation or anything like that. I'll answer any questions that I can. My suggestion is that you see what you can find out, because I'm quite at a loss.
Do you know of any reason why the cultists would be motivated to do something like this?
Well, I'm not sure I even believe in the cultists, except the only evidence we have is that our people have now been attacked by someone.
That's what I mean. So we have two separate issues, right? We have a plague issue, and then we have the flaying issue, right?
The flayed, well, the claim is that the flayed are the ones who are spreading the disease, but I see no evidence of that.
Is there anything in the area that these cultists might want? Are there gold deposits nearby, or is there resources or anything like that?
We have no contact with them, so I don't know what their motivation would be if they exist.
Okay.
At all. Right now, I think the main problem is the disease. It's, as I say, it's a rather gruesome disease. So steel yourselves if you go out there and take a look. We have medics that have, it would seem that most of the people who are assisting have guarded themselves against actually physically touching the victims when they can, and they have not contracted the disease. So it's possible that it needs physical contact of some sort, probably coming into contact with the bodily fluids.
Has anyone, to your knowledge, contracted the disease and survived or recovered?
Yes. I think that there are a few who have overcome the disease and survived. I do believe that's correct. But not many. Most of them don't make it. And the results, it's almost unspeakably horrible. You should talk to the doctors about that. They can explain it much better.
Okay.
Our physician is named Abrax, by the way. I think there's also a couple of others, Constantinos and Palatos. I think those are their names. They'll be out at the tents. Abrax is a Greek. Do any of you speak Greek?
Uh, 40%.
Okay.
Do the physicians stay with you in the barracks, or are they constantly?
Oh, no. No.
Once you're assumed to have the disease, you're in the tents.
Just to be safe, yes. Now, I wouldn't refuse the physicians know this, so they've camped themselves out there. They don't come back into the thing, but I mean, I've had messengers and soldiers go back and forth between the two in order to take the messages and to bring back messages from them. So we haven't had any problem there. They, of course, don't touch anything when they're out there. I think it's safe enough for that.
The guy that we're talking to, Long Giants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is he aware of our, quote, secret mission?
He's the reason why you were sent for.
Okay.
Yeah, so he knows. He knows, well, he knows that you're supposed to. He's hoping that, actually, he's probably also under the opinion that that Gamelius is going to send soldiers out to relieve them at some point.
Yeah, I think that's what I meant. Like, is he just expecting more reinforcements to arrive, or does he know that we might possibly kill him if he tries to escape?
Oh, he's probably well aware of that, because that's what they've been trying to do, is keep the villagers from leaving, you know.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, he has no intention of leaving. But he probably, he also knows that, you know, you guys have given him your papers. So he also knows that Tilius can take command of the entire operation if he wants to, if he needs to. So, gentlemen, please, I'll have my assistant take you to your barrack and get you all situated. It's actually probably just after noon when you have arrived. And as I say, it's kind of drizzly outside. So it's muddy and it's unpleasant. But then again, you guys are soldiers. So, is that what happens? You guys go to the barracks? You put your packs where they're supposed to go? You,
yep.
Yeah.
You're ready. All right.
Yep.
Sorry, it's a lot of talking for the beginning of this one.
It's all set up.
Let's go ahead.
As we're in our barracks, stowing our gear and stuff, I'm going to turn to the group and ask, does anyone have any ideas on how to approach this yet?
I'd be more comfortable going out and hunting down the bandits and staying contained in this disease box.
We can't go to the tents and question anyone with the illness because we could easily contract the illness if we did that.
I'll stay well away from anybody that's got the illness.
So,
well, as long as you don't touch them.
I've got no medical skill and knowledge.
So it's not airborne.
For to risk it anyway.
No, if it was airborne, you'd all be
fucked.
Yeah, everybody would be fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not airborne, it's in the water.
It's and the physicians haven't contracted it, but they're being very careful. And,
as I say, if I had medical skill, I'd risk it, but I've got no medical skill, so it wouldn't be worth my while risking it.
I feel like there was some ambiguity in his description too. In other words, he didn't believe in these cultists even existing. I feel like we need to find someone who can give us a firsthand account. Are we talking about five cultists? Or are we talking about 50 armed men? Or
difficult to tell, but I'm more at home fighting something like that now with disease.
Yeah.
As scouts, isn't it our remit to find out what we're dealing with?
Yeah.
Did you hear what he mentioned, though, that some of those people from those other towns, they were flayed alive. Some of them died from the disease, the rest were flayed alive. I don't think that we're dealing with five people.
Yeah.
Problem is that, and I chuckle at the thought, but I don't think that they're going to be walking around the town square wearing black robes and saying, "Hail Satan, I love Satan."
Well, they must want something. They must need a motivation. I mean, are they trying to spread the word of their corrupted religion or?
Evil needs no reason to be evil, old man.
I'm going to write that down.
But what is our first step? Do we head into town? Maybe? Question the locals?
I think we need to see firsthand what we're up against with the disease. I don't want to, but we might also gain more information.
You want to head down to the tents and talk to maybe a medic?
That's what I'm thinking, but I'm open to whatever.
Okay. What is everyone else think? Is Tilius with us?
Yes.
Whatever the old man says. Unless Tilius wants to override.
Yeah, does Tilius have anything to say about us going into the tents and maybe questioning the the medics or people.
Don't touch anyone, but wrap up your hands with something. Wear your gloves. Wash yourselves afterwards thoroughly. Be careful. Gather information. The more information we have, the more we know about what we're dealing with.
Okay. So we head immediately down to the tents.
Okay.
I say.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
Frank's going to ask Dr. Dawkins. I know it's still early in the story, but you have any theories? You have any ideas what could possibly be causing that strange disease?
Let me do a medical roll.
Well, you haven't really heard all the symptoms yet, so.
Yeah, well, but I mean, I can try to guess at it.
So I know it's still early and we don't have a lot of information yet, but I'm just curious if he has an opinion.
Go ahead and do a medical roll.
A 20.
Well, what you can tell at this point is it doesn't sound like bubonic plague.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
Which in fact hit Constantinople, and the reports were that there were bodies piled up 10 feet high, that 7,000 people a day were dropping dead of bubonic plague when it hit. It was bad. This doesn't sound like that bad, but it would be this bad if it got into Constantinople.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So who's going to the tents? Who's not going to the tents?
I'm going to go, but I'm going to keep my ears open.
I'm not going in the tent. I'm waiting outside.
Somebody might be talking about.
I'm gonna make sure that Damanaeus is all right.
Okay. I think Damanaeus is actually the youngest of all of you, isn't he?
Yes. Oh, maybe. Yeah.
He's actually younger.
So I ain't going in there.
All right. So you're gonna.
So we gotta stay. So something might happen while they're in there. Yeah. So you know, we'll just keep. But look out.
We'll be ready. We're alert.
All right. So, those of you who head down to the tents, it's exactly what you would expect. There are cots laid out with people, villagers who are ill. One large tent has all the legionnaires that are the soldiers. That are ill. They're in there all together. You can see three physicians walking around. They're more or less catering to the people who are poor. The people who are sick. In some cases, they're dropping drops of painkiller, poppy juice, into their mouths, and there's some other assistants who are, you know, giving them water and stuff like that. But the victims, are trying to be. There's no way they can be possibly comfortable. There is an older man. Looks like a Greek man, standing nearby. He's writing stuff down. He's probably the old guy. He's probably in his 70s. Yeah, he's probably in his 70s. But he seems like the head physician, Abraxas.
Okay, well, this is your idea. So...
All right. So I'm going to approach the medics.
Okay. Kind of looks up at you. What can I do for you?
We're here on assignment to possibly track down the source of the plague. And write up a report so that we can bring more troops. What can you tell us about the plague?
You're not infected. Please, outside, please. I'll come with you, but you shouldn't be in here.
And we rush back outside.
He takes you outside, and he's like, "I wouldn't advise, you know, spending more than a very, very short time inside. I've never seen anything like this disease before."
What is so contagious about it? Is it boils bursting? Is it blood? What is saliva? What is the source?
Okay. Let's see. Now, this man, Abraxas, looks exhausted. He tells you that he's been working very hard to see if he can find out what exactly is going on here. "I'm not sure," he says, "whether it's a disease or a venom." He said it seems to be transmitted by biting, bites. The symptoms don't usually start for a couple of days. After the infection, they begin, they continue for exactly 6 days, which strikes me as very strange. The early symptoms are high fever, weakness, fatigue, sensitivity to light, and some confusion. Then the later symptoms are debilitating pain, madness, and open skin lesions forming along the length of the spine. Once patients reach that point, he keeps them sedated with poppy nectar out of mercy. 4 in 10 people with the Valerian plague die from it, usually the old, frail, or the very young, like most illnesses. If the patient survives past the 6th day, they slowly recover. The skin lesions of those succumbing to Valerian plague become a continuous open sore. Care must be taken when handling the bodies. Go ahead.
So you're saying that it's transmitted through a bite?
Yeah, I think so. Some of the victims have reported being bit by bats, of all things.
What about the other patients? Not all of them could have been bit by a bat.
Well, not all of them are coherent at the moment. They're not able to describe their past, few days. They're, as I say, they're incoherent. They're disoriented.
What is the current mortality rate of per day? Are we talking scores of people? Are we talking one or two a day?
Well, four in ten die. So I would say, right now, I don't know. He's got 50 or so dead people. He says their bodies are buried, burned, or entombed. He's not sure what to do with the bodies. He says, "I don't know whether we should bury them, burn them, or entomb them. Burned bodies could create an infectious smoke. Buried bodies could taint the soil. For now, we've just got them piled up in a nearby ditch and covered with oilskin sackcloth."
I then turn and walk back to my group so that I can allow someone else to kind of step forward. But I immediately lean into old man, and I say, "The bat is a common personification of evil." Hmm. And I turn around and stand at attention, allowing one of the others to ask some questions.
Well, the old Abraxas, kind of overhearing that, he's like, "Listen," he says, "I'm a man of science." He says, "I think that we can dismiss any stories about monsters, bats, demons, or any silly thing like that. As fever, they're just delusions. We're dealing with good, hard science here. There must be some thing that is causing this.
We need an augury to see what the god says.
Exactly. And we don't have one.
If only science could provide us with one.
Most of your patients now, are they from the local village, right?
They're from, most of them are from, yes.
Meaning the village we're currently in? Or are we actually just like strictly at a military outpost?
You're at a military outpost. To the east of you, there are three villages, Sirens, Alkati, and Kalkoi. And these people in here, some of them arrived from all those. But at the moment, those towns are... when the scouts came back, they said that they were wiped out.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm...
Bodies everywhere.
Are you? That's kind of what I mean. Like, are you getting new patients every day? Like, where are they? No. Are they coming from one particular town? No. Or
no, that's it. This is it.
This is it. Okay.
Yeah. And we're trying to keep them here, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
We definitely don't want them going back to Cyzicus.
Has any of the military been to any of these three villages yet?
Yes. As I say, they found dead bodies everywhere.
The dead bodies, and they were the ones that found the flayed bodies too.
Yes.
Okay, so those reports
we can... I don't know what that's all about, though.
Those reports we can trust, right? In other words, they weren't just the ramblings of a sick person.
Well. Part of the symptoms that some of the bodies that we've had to get rid of to throw out in the ditch, the connective tissue between the skin and the body, underlying the skin, seems to somewhat dissolve. We have had a number of bodies as my people were throwing them into the ditch, that their skin sloughed completely off. It split at the spine where the open sores were.
That's disturbing. Yeah, so this talk of fillings could be the result of the disease.
That's possible, yes. It's possible that it's just, you know, people interpreting for themselves. Mm-hmm. Some of the victims seem very frightened of some sort of devil-worshipping cult. Personally, it's nonsense, but whatever.
You men of science.
Well, all I deal with is what I've got in front of me. Anyways, I've got to go back to work. Sorry. You know, if you want to question some of the victims, please be very careful. Don't touch anything and don't spend too much time. I risk a great deal going in there. And with that, he turns and goes back inside. You're all muted. It's so quiet when you guys are all muted. I can't even hear you guys breathing. Ah, that's better.
Ah, room tone. You want to hear me eating?
I want to hear you talking.
Hear me eating my sunflower seeds.
What color is your toga?
You were eating sunflower seeds? I was like eating sunflower seeds.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you got sandals on?
He's got the plague.
He's got the plague. Kill him. Okay. So I suppose I'm going to take him up on his offer, and I'm going to go talk to some of the patients.
I'll go with you.
Oh, you know what I just realized, and I may have misunderstood. These are plague tents, but there are refugee tents.
Oh.
There are people who are not infected.
Let's go talk to them. Let's talk to the sane ones.
Yeah.
All right, so you go over there, and you can see that the people are obviously not having a good time. They're uncomfortable. Many of them are grieving for family who have died, for family who are extremely sick that they can't visit. Not a happy camp. Literally not a happy camp. All right, so pick a random person that you're going to go up to and talk to if you want to.
I want to talk to a little boy.
All right.
Okay, didn't know that was going to happen. All right, let's talk to the little boy.
Hey, mister. I don't think you said that. He said, hey, hey mistress.
All right. I kneeled down. Why am I talking to a little boy? All right. And oh my God. I say, hello there. I'm not going to tell him about Christ. He's a little boy.
Leave him alone.
Yeah, we're wondering if you can tell us anything about the sickness.
Oh, it's bad.
Is there anything else you can tell me? How old is this kid? Like 3?
No, mister, then I would be talking like this. That's a really big sword you got there.
Oh my God, what are you, Bostonian? he has no idea. All he knows is that his mom is dead.
Oh, well, does he have a dad? Is his dad dead too?
No.
Okay, well, let's go talk to his dad. Can we talk to your dad?
He's looking for another mom. No, he's looking for a wife. He's desperate.
What about this one, daddy?
All right, so let's say you talk to this kid's dad, father. He's going to like this. So what do you want to do? What are you going to ask him? Everybody's muted.
Who wants to talk to the sad old man?
Oh, I thought you were.
Who wants to talk?
Well,
there's players in here who don't talk much. Let's talk to somebody who's not talking much. Oh, wait. Simon's not there.
I'm near them, but I'm about 10 feet behind them with Melonius. Okay. I'm leaning on my spear, just watching.
All right.
That's right.
So
I'm tightening my bowstring.
So who wants to talk to
nice bowstring.
The grieving widower? I guess I will. Why not? I'll take one for the team. Send the ugliest one of us to go talk to him. All right.
Yeah, but you're Christian. You're a beautiful person deep down inside.
Yeah, you know us Christians.
You told me that.
I approach the man. I'm going to assume he's sitting on a cot of some kind.
Yeah, and looking awful, beaten.
I sit beside him, and I say, "Hello there, citizen. I am Emmerich of Solvi."
Hello, Emmerich of Solvi.
I say that I've spoken to your son, and he has told me of your wife's passing. I'm deeply sorry.
A horrible, horrible way to die.
I put a hand on his back, and I say, through all Christ, I say in the, though she's passed now, know that she's in a better place She's in a better place. She's free of pain.
You've got Simon going.
I hate you, Simon. Well, it's because of whatever he wrote in the chat. It's what he wrote in the chat.
You're my wife now.
Fuck you, Simon. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay.
He says, well, there is, yes, she is. She's finally out of the horrible pain. And he looks at you and he says, do you think God is punishing us for some reason? Maybe the apocalypse is coming.
I then say, God is a merciful God. He is not the reason why your wife perished. It is Satan who has done this. It is the dark forces that have done this.
Well, I've heard things. I've heard rumors of things, but I don't know what to believe anymore.
What are these things? I'm a mountain of a man, so I just kind of lean down.
Well, I've heard that the disease is caused by the bites of bats. I've heard that it's caused by ghosts. I've heard that it's caused by lunatics. I've heard that once you're bitten, even if you survive, your soul is gone and you're nothing but an empty shell. Why is God doing this to us? Why is he allowing this to happen to us? You think that it's a satanic cult. I've heard that too, that they're trying to spread this disease. Why would they do that?
That is what we're trying to figure out. You see, I and my associates, and I point to my two friends, we're legionnaires here to hunt down and stop these vicious satanic members.
You know, I heard one of those doctors talking that it might be a new form of rabies. What do you think about that?
I think that that is a possibility, sir.
And yes, how do you think that she contracted?
Yeah. How do you think she contracted it? Do you think it was a bite?
I don't think that it was a bat, a ghost, or a lunatic.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. It just came upon her all of a sudden. She became delirious and I tried to care for her for a day, and then I realized that she had broken out in all kinds of sores along her spine. And that's when I heard from the neighbors that the same thing was happening, and we all came here to see if we could find out if there was some relief, if there was some help on the way, and now we're here, and my wife, she died.
I asked the man, how far is the town, and how many people remain in the town?
There's nobody in the town anymore. That's what we hear. All the townsfolk are here that are still alive. It's not far.
About a half day's journey?
Let's see, I've got that.
Emmerich, ask them if they all share the same water source. Share the same well.
All right, I'll ask him. Thanks for yelling that to him.
Could be. I'm just trying to help.
As I wave to you. Thanks for...
Melanius told me to tell you.
This guy wants to make me his wife. I don't know what to do.
I'll be best man.
I'm Christian. I don't believe in that.
We'll have a discussion about that later, Thomas.
I'm dramatic.
He does like you.
He does like me.
What are the other towns? I don't think it's that far.
It could be a poison.
Yeah, maybe less than half a day. Maybe just a couple of hours.
I'll ask the man. Did he notice anybody strange that came to the village maybe a few days before his wife took ill?
It's like,
anything strange or anything unusual that might have happened?
Well, I did notice that some of my neighbors were acting frightened. I didn't really think about it at the time. They just seemed to be kind of less friendly, less talkative than they usually are. As if they had been, they were afraid of something. It's later on that I heard about this cult, this satanic cult, the Flayed.
You only heard about it. You haven't seen or experienced it firsthand?
Well, it's not often that strangers come to our village, but it does seem to me that about 2 weeks ago, there were a group, maybe three, that came through our village that were dressed in black cloaks. We thought they were just passing through. They didn't really interact with anybody, but I did see them, and they were heading east towards Kalki. I think it's properly pronounced Kalki.
Three.
East.
Kalahi, that's how it's pronounced.
Well, I'm relieved to hear finally that somebody has seen somebody.
Is it possible that you can point out your neighbors? Are they here?
And he just sort of goes like this. They're all my neighbors.
Cool. All right. Well.
And he just basically, he's like, you know, he's like, that's Claudius. He lives at the farm three farms down. And that's.
Thank you, sir. We need not know all of that. I stand up and I put my hand on his shoulder and I say, God is good. Remember that. And I, through God, all things are possible. And I turn to the group, and I say, it's quite possible that, yes, the water could be poisoned, but I think that the group's motivation was to get everyone out of the town.
You could be right.
We should head east and see where they were going.
You were saying something. I can't remember your name, Wayne. You were going to say something.
I was basically saying that, you know, you may be right. You should check out the village. He said that they went, or you saw them going east.
What do you reckon, old man?
I say we should investigate the town. And, I mean, while we're there, if there happen to be these bat-like creatures that people are we're talking about, perhaps we can take one down and we'll have proof.
Exactly. Smart thinking.
And if that's the case, then we can bring it to the Physica over here, and perhaps they can come up with some sort of antidote or cure for this thing.
Yeah, we're soldiers. We need an enemy. We can't fight a plague.
Right.
We need someone to hit. That's what we need. Boss.
So your intention probably then is tomorrow to travel east towards the three villages.
Yeah.
That's when that group was heading.
Well, the only reason why you're not going now is because it's starting to get into the evening.
We don't want to get bit by that.
Right.
Bit by that.
Actually, that's a good question. The people that are claiming to have been bit, was it during the night all the time, or did they come out during the day?
Yes, nighttime. Well, with that, let's hang here in the evening going towards, you know, you guys are still up. You guys are still with some of the other soldiers, and you guys are preparing to decide what you're going to do next. And we will leave it there until next week, if that's okay with you. All right. Our players included Thomas McKeon, Mick Swan, Simon Ward, Jeff Wilkins, and Wayne Worthy, with myself as the Keeper of the Secrets. Please consider visiting our Patreon account. Just a few dollars a month will help us greatly. One of our current patrons, William Mize, has increased his donation from $5 to $10. Wow. Thanks, William.
Thank you, William.
Thanks, William. Nice one, mate. Thanks.
William has also asked to join our players, so as soon as we can find a spot for him in one of our games, we'll welcome him in. We currently are producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We're also providing audio-only versions of our show, free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Feel free to send us comments on the show. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed our broadcast, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows. You'll find links to everything I mentioned in the description below. This is Tom Rayleigh, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.